Hi, this is Nikki Heyman, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
It's actually going to be a very boring show this week, but wait!
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
Hey everybody, it's your buddy, it's your pal Scott Stanford. I want to tell you about the new Broski shirt and the Broski headbands. You can get them at WWEshop.com. Hello?
Excuse Broski?
Is Broski down with Lil' Jimmy?
I'd like to know where R-Truth got his, because those headbands have been sold out for weeks. But that's not the only question we need to answer tonight at the North American Wrestling Connection, CLW3's flagship show, also sponsored by WrestleChat. My name is Nikki Heyman, and it seems I have a full house here. I just need to ask you guys one question before we begin. What happened to the mouse?
I think he and the kid that ran into the backstage area during Batista's entrance, they're probably having a few beers right now.
I can take that. Let's see, who do I have here tonight? The person you heard first is our friend Forth.
I just want to say they need to sign Punk's sister if she cuts promos like that.
I think I could get behind that. Let's see, from the sweltering deserts of a state called Texas, I have Typho.
Am I the only one who thought the mouse and or rat running was going after Ricardo Rodriguez as revenge for him trying to poison Conor O'Brien?
I hadn't thought of that. I was going to accuse him the mouse, of being the one that sent the text to Kevin Nash. Let's see, and I have a number four in here. Would that be Indiana's Andy Storm?
Hello?
About freaking time, son!
I've been having problems with my Google Voice, my Skype, you name it. I've had the problems. I don't even have a phone right now, but I'm here.
And that in itself is a miracle. We have had multiple attempts at getting you on the show, so please, next time I ask you, please come in, but congratulations for making it.
Yeah, I get my own little celebration. I apologize to the listeners. I apologize to you, Nikki. I thank you for giving me this chance again to get on the show, and I'm ready and willing to go.
Well, thank you for coming back, and as your punishment, tomorrow at the 10th anniversary, you will have to tell Dave Christ to chop you.
Deal.
And I want pictures of the red mark afterwards. All right. Now that we've gotten that out of the way. SummerSlam, I thought, was actually a very good show. And I seem to be in the minority. Typho, did you notice that the IWC just kind of crapped all over the ending and the aftermath?
Yeah, basically. But, that's to be expected because, well, usually when something like that happens, there's no middle ground. Either you loved it or you hated it. So you know it's going to happen. You know it's going to come. So I was pretty much expecting it. But I loved it because, personally, I'm a very big Kevin Nash fan, and anytime he gets involved in anything, I'm excited. I don't care that he can't go well anymore. He might blow his knee or blow a quad taking a step. He's still Kevin Nash, and he's still awesome.
But when the dust settled from this, Alberto Del Rio, within his first year, is now the undisputed WWE champion. Fourth, was it time, and was it destiny?
I think it was probably about the right time, because it felt like around WrestleMania, they definitely had the gopher broke of no stopping with the Intercontinental, no tag team for a while, just putting heavyweight gold on. And so I would say it was definitely about time.
Andy, now that you're here and the dust has settled from this pay-per-view, Del Rio's champion. Like, don't like, wish it was Cena, wish it was Punk?
I'm not going to lie, I do kind of wish it was Punk. I feel like what push they gave him just kind of all of a sudden died with that win. I think if anybody should be going after Del Rio, it should be Punk. I would have liked to have seen a Punk-Del Rio feud going on, and then maybe Cena and Nash. I think Punk and Nash will do okay if Nash is still good in the ring and can shake off whatever ring rest he may or may not have. But, you know, again, it's the John Cena in the title picture, the main guy. And personally, myself, I'm kind of getting sick of it. I liked seeing the Punk push, and I liked seeing how everything went down. But then all of a sudden, it just kind of, Del Rio comes in, which I like. But, again, Cena's just number one attraction again. And it's starting to sicken me personally.
Well, the good news is that they seem to go ahead and throw everybody off. The score's coming in. Andy, now that you're here, I also get to browbeat you some more because you were at the very bottom of the pick'ems.
Woohoo!
In fact, the only reason that you're not down there with Jim is that Jim took a half point. I forgot which match he did that on. Oh, yeah. He took the flush on Who Turns. So that gave him a 1.5. Fourth, you and Carl and Brian were tied with 2 points. Ethan, in his vain attempt to retain the Fizzleweight Championship, only managed a meager 3. Which leaves, at the very top, the winners and co-Fizzleweight Champions, VRM, Statboy Josh Henniger, and me. Thank you very much. And since I'm here every week, I will take care of this belt. So, somebody mentioned, you know, Kevin, Typho, you and Andy were both interested in seeing where if Kevin Nash could still go, if he's still any good in the ring, if he can shake off some ring rust. WWE seems to be just as interested. They asked him to not take dates this weekend, and he'll be down in Pittsburgh getting some medical tests and maybe a few stress tests and maybe a piss test just to make sure that he's clean, maybe he's healthy, and hopefully he won't tear his quad as he's walking off the plane.
Right. He was a pure champion. We don't have to worry about any piss test problems. He made it perfectly clear to us.
And alcohol's still legal, so I figure that, you know, that's no big deal. I don't think that would be the reason that would take him, that would keep him from getting back in the ring. I think it's a matter of how are his knees, how are his ankles, how is his back. Actually, his back not so much, because Punk can carry him.
Yeah.
Or maybe Nash did already took his wellness test, but they switched him and Big Andy around.
I believe you if you said Mike Chioda.
Yes, that is very amusing. Just the fact that we've got a referee on a wellness violation. Levine, tough enough, Andy. I have really no comment, and I'll just leave him to get the crap kicked out of him by Stone Cold Steve Austin. Chioda, I was hesitant to actually go ask a referee what exactly they would be busted carrying. The only thing I can think of is he might have not had his paperwork for pain meds, because I notice he usually has a brace on his arm just below the elbow, his counting arm. That's the only thing I could think of.
It is definitely weird to see a referee being suspended for wellness policy violations. So, I mean, it could be anything. He could be token up just for the hell of it. Who knows, you know?
Yeah. I don't
gives
know.
Gives us all hope that possibly Michael Cole will get busted for wellness soon.
Although, let's see if anybody can help me with this history lesson. Anybody remember the referee Chris Kay, one of the guys that got called up from OVW? Didn't he get busted for something before he got canned?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. But yeah, it seems medical is going to be very busy. Just, you know, first of all, Kyoto and Levine having a forced vacation, Kevin Nash just being checked to make sure he can still function, Rey Mysterio being stretchered out this past Monday so that he can finally go get those knees worked on again, still yet.
Is it time for him to retire yet?
Well, I just think that this little medical vacation of Ray's is about 2 years too late after hard-weighing CM Punk busting up Undertaker's face and apparently...
What he did to Cody Rhodes.
Oh, yeah, I can't forget that.
And apparently that was partially legit, but, you know, but that continues to carry very well. So... I have a feeling Mysterio's going back under the knife, and he's going to want to come back.
Great.
Sorry, man.
I'm not happy that anybody gets hurt, but I can't say that I'm sad to have a break from Rey Mysterio. And I'm just beyond sick of him. And he's up higher on the list than Cena to me. I mean, Cena can do well. Mysterio, he's just dropped so far to me that just watching him now hurts, because he's like, I don't even know that he's 50% of what he used to be. Just watching him now, it's just like, I just don't even want to see him. It hurts me to watch.
Well, let's see. A few other things to pull from Raw. What do you guys think of this new bit of intrigue? Who sent the text? Who's controlling Nash? Since originally when we walked out of SummerSlam, my original answer was Del Rio paid Nash a shit ton of money to go kill whoever won the Undisputed match.
I like that idea. But my idea is it's the anonymous Raw GM.
Which I've pretty much I'm going to just point back at Triple H, because as you notice, the anonymous Raw GM has pretty much evaporated.
Right.
They still have
the podium still there.
Yeah, the podium's still there. I don't know if the laptop's still there.
I've seen it a couple times.
So, go ahead for it.
I get the nagging feeling that it's going to become something of Triple H versus Stephanie effect, that we'll find out it was Stephanie controlling Nash the whole time for some reason. I just get that nagging feeling.
Well, I think that's what's going to come down, because Hunter's the one who says, storyline, that he brought Punk back, and Punk just, you know, ragged on Stephanie to her face, so she's probably the one who stole Hunter's phone and texted Nash, I think is where we're going to go with this. And then those two are going to get into a wonderful little argument. I don't really want to go through another McMahon-Helmsley divorce. Only if it's it's preceded with a renewal of vows and Hunter gets to trash the set again.
How about bringing back Vince and Linda or Shane and doing another Four Corners match with a McMahon in every corner? That worked so well at WrestleMania 2000.
I'm almost glad I missed that match. But it's still curious, and until we figure out what Nash can do in the ring, the best they can do is at least mic feud. Although Punk really I hate to say it, Typho, Punk tore Nash to shreds on the mic.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
I think the problem was is they're telling. I don't know if they're. I don't know what they told Nash, but he was. He needs to be allowed to be what he was in TNA, basically, and what he was in WCW. I don't know if they told him just get into some kind of heel persona and stick with it. You're the badass heel, and that's what you got to be. He can be better than that.
Well, we got to figure out, we still got to figure out whose side, where does Nash's loyalties lie, and is Punk face yet? What do you think, guys?
He's over enough. Like, the crowd loves him. He may be one of those tweeners he may have, like, the heelish tendencies, but the crowd still loves him, so they put him over as a face.
I was going to say definitely at least in that area, that gray area, where he may not openly embrace fans, but he's definitely more of a face than he's a heel at the moment.
Because it seems the only defined heel backstage is good old Johnny Ace, Mr. Future Endeavors himself.
I can't wait till they start using that nickname.
That ought to
I hope there's t-shirts. If there's t-shirts, I'll buy one.
I'm going to buy that one, and I need to put it right. I need to buy the Vicky Guerrero shirt before it sells out.
How about Vicky a shirt that just says, I got Future Endeavored by Johnny Ace? Something like that.
There you go.
And a picture on the back of his face with a pink slip under it.
arrow
pointing to a map with Orlando circled.
Oh! No, they won't put that on there, unfortunately.
But wait, Vicky Guerrero has a shirt of her own?
Yes, and it says "Excuse me" in huge letters in a word balloon with the pointer up to the collar, so it looks like you're the one saying it.
Okay, I see.
I need one of those.
I like that. I like that whole "excuse me," but after she says "excuse me," five times, she just kind of gets dull.
Well, I reiterate, I would like half of her heat.
Exactly.
I would absolutely positively love to have half of her heat.
I think it's just once you get one of those catchphrases that people hate, Cole's "may I have your attention, please," Mrs. "I'm awesome," that's when you get the heat, because people just don't want, people are tired of that catchphrase.
I still think it's the fact that Vicky Guerrero's voice is that one teacher. Everybody knows that one teacher that you had that sounds exactly like that.
Yes.
And I'm speaking to, yes, my fourth grade teacher, if she happens to be still alive, Mrs. Jones. So,
probably a listener of this program.
if she's still around, she's actually listening to this program, she's probably popping for the fact that I actually mentioned her by name. Anyway, back on topic. Punk may end up butting heads with the establishment, and in fact was grilled about this on Mark Madden's radio show. I almost said John Madden, which actually would have been a better place for Punk, but that's because I still think Mark Madden is only slightly above Michael Cole in the commentary department. Now, did any of you guys hear this interview?
Which one?
CM Punk on Mark Madden's show.
No.
Sorry, Typho. What did you say, Typho?
I said I heard pieces of it.
Okay. Apparently the topic came up that eventually Punk is going to end up at odds with Hunter. And he's pretty much spoke up. He pretty much answers it. That's going to be this $64,000 question. Everybody is expecting me to get buried. All I can say, all Punk said he could say was, just wait and see. Because I think he, just like the rest of us, especially myself, are sick and tired of the wah, wah, wah from the IWC. To the point that somewhere on the fan board, somebody said that the TNA writers were working for the Fed.
I happen to know the TNA creative team are very smart people.
They can't be.
That's dumb.
To but I don't, you know, let's see. Let's see. Punk does seem to be worried about what's going on with the wrestling business. Let's see. Unless we were doing things we were doing 10 years ago and we don't really care about the future of the business, let's be honest, the future of the wrestling business is in jeopardy right now. We want to make the same mistakes, and I'm obviously speaking out against it. But if we do make those same mistakes, I don't know if there's even going to be a business in 30 years. Which he does have a he unfortunately does have a point. And I think that that is finally starting to get corrected in WWE. Unfortunately, TNA is just having way too much fun recycling crap. Or is it just, I shouldn't speak of that because I don't watch the show.
I was going to say, you're not missing much. So far, it seems like the only two people that haven't been in Immortal or at least affiliated with them are Sting and RVD.
And it seems my feelings about watching TNA are being echoed as their ratings are slowly ticking down, which is a bad sign if they're going to be the ones to... if they're going to get a little bit more spotlight now that UFC's got this wonderful deal with Fox.
I have a feeling the ratings will shoot up soon. They're getting ready to do a Sting Flair program.
Hmm.
And that's going to lead into Sting Hogan.
If we'll get back in your time. Go ahead.
The excitement's going to be at a fever pitch.
My computer doesn't say Windows 3.0 on it.
I was going to say, Typho, get back in your time machine and join us in 2011, please.
Are you telling me it's not 1997?
Alas. If it was, I'd actually have a lot better television equipment around me, and I'd probably be able to produce a better show. Let's see. But yes, the ratings have been trickling down, and the pay-per-view buy rates are horrendous. Hardcore Justice, it's my understanding, 7,500 buys and about 15,000 illegal streams. But... from our estimation, the 1.04 that they pulled, I think, this week, runs about a million and a half people. So you're only getting 5% willing to plunk down $35 for your extravaganzas, mainly because most people are probably watching it on an illegal stream.
Right.
I mean, do any of you guys watch TNA?
Yeah.
Not usually.
Sometimes, but it is getting to the point where I'm reconsidering it, or probably reconsidering it.
Okay. So, Typho, as one of the million, and million.
One of the dozens and dozens.
There we go. That's actually probably the better definition.
I was going to give him a little bit more credit and say one of the hundreds and hundreds, you know, but...
He's quoting directly from Foley, and that's always a good thing.
True.
Do you think they'll actually start heading in a better direction anytime soon?
Well, I mean, the direction they're headed right now is basically they're kind of hitching everything on Hulk Hogan's in-ring return. Apparently will happen at Bound for Glory. And I guess it'll be interesting to see what kind of buys that gets, because I assume there's people out there that are interested in seeing Hogan in the ring again. I mean, I'm sure they exist, but...
You people are fools!
Yeah.
And that's one of the... Go ahead.
I think once... I mean, the clock's ticking down on Hogan and Bischoff. I mean, once their contract's done, I don't see them coming back. I think once they're gone, that maybe they can go because I think they were going in a good direction in like the 2 months before Hogan and Bischoff showed up. If they got back to that direction and pushed it farther, I think they'd be okay.
That might be something that they're starting to build towards. I understand they've hired a few more guys for the X division in a time when they keep getting told that they're supposed to be cutting people. I just, you know, I don't know how that message gets lost in translation to Dixie, but that's okay.
They re-added Kid Cash, so I'm happy.
And I was happy to hear that Shima Zion got a deal. He, guy worked in, that I've worked with in the Cleveland area. Two noticeably absent individuals are two guys that were probably also putting a slight strain on the payroll, and that would be the Hardys. Well, they're not gone. Although Jeff's on a long legal vacation.
Right.
Yet they're still producing a new DVD on him, releasing T-shirts.
The new belt that Jeff made.
Yes, his new white Omega Immortal belt. That a couple of pictures are out there about it. Apparently, he and Matt have got it in their heads that they want to relaunch Omega, since they're probably not going to be allowed in a TNA building until one or the other gets their heads on straight or one of them goes to jail.
Who wants to place odds on which one happens first?
The next court date's in September. I say Jeff goes to jail before either of them get their heads on straight.
Matt's busy dealing with that ghost in his house right now, so he's busy.
All he has to do is just turn on enough lights to make his shadow go away.
Yeah, I say Jeff goes to jail before either one of them gets any of their heads straight. You know, take me back to, you know, 98 and 97 when I was a kid and the Hardys were in the WWE and good, doing ladder matches. I like those Hardys. I don't like the 2011 Hardys.
Yeah, I think that Jeff really needs to take a fall before anything good can happen.
It's just sad. It's just a sad, sad state of affairs with those two. And, you know, I want to say that I would love to see them back in a ring, but right now I could take them or leave them. I thought Jeff looked great, you know, was doing very well in 09. To this day, I still don't understand why he left, although admittedly his timing was impeccable and kept WWE from getting a black eye over his legal troubles.
Right.
Matt has just gone straight off the pier. I just don't get it. So I think I am going to get away from talking about those two because they don't need any help.
Oh, don't feed his ego.
Actually, I do want to talk about. I do want to start on something at least. For any of you guys watched SmackDown this week, right?
I did. Yeah.
Okay, in the shadow of the fact that Mark Henry is now the number one contender, something I'm still not 100% behind, Cody Rhodes had a wonderful promo at the beginning of the show talking about the Intercontinental title. He's been around the business almost his entire life, and he actually remembers a time when the Intercontinental title meant something. And this is part of what he said. Part of what he said in the promo was the fact that that's where he wants to get the Intercontinental title back. He wants it back to being that prestigious title, the one that screams, "I'm the next number one contender." I don't think he was just saying it out of arrogance, Typho. I think he's got something.
Well, they better find some challengers that they're really willing to get behind. I'm not talking about Big Zeke either.
No, I think they're done with Big Zeke. So, Andy, you got any names that you'd like to throw at Cody Rhodes right now?
I'd say Daniel Bryan, but he's got the money in the bank, so he's kept up. I think if you start shaping Wade Barrett up a little bit more and a little bit more, you know, week by week, I think, you know, give it about a month, maybe two, and, you know, he could probably be back to actually being true Intercontinental Champion status. You know, if you can decide whether you're going to make Zack Ryder a true face or heel, he's got the heel antics with the crowd going, you know, getting him over because of his Z Long Island stories. He's got the talent. He could be Intercontinental Champ. It's just a matter of, you know, will he work for it, and will the Fed give him that push?
Oops. I didn't think he would be on tonight. It seems the anonymous Raw general manager, since he hasn't been used on Raw, decided to bug me. What do you want? Give me a second here. Ah. And I quote, there's plenty of other contenders that could show up for Intercontinental titleship. They need to work harder with others like Justin Gabriel, Tyson Kidd. Not Ezekiel Jackson, definitely not Ezekiel Jackson. Sin Cara would be somebody else to look at. Sheamus is too high up the card at this point. But there could be the groundwork has been laid for a potential intercontinental division. I don't know if I could argue with that, but I'm not allowed to because we've reached the midpoint of our show. So if you guys will pardon me for just a couple of minutes, the North American Wrestling Connection, sponsored by WrestleChat on CLW83, has to do some very necessary shilling. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net.
I'd rather hit you with the bowling chair. I have to hit you again.
On the CLW83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Roll the tape on this.
I am indeed ready for such an occasion.
It was actually going to be a very boring show this week, but wait.
How you doing tonight, Al?
Doing good. Nice selection of music there, and I am wearing pants.
Okay.
Hey! All right, that's a bonus.
We'll play Cafe, not Play Mania. Play Mania was a GSN show.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. Play Mania's running wild.
Exactly right.
Oh, jeez! Mute Mama Seidelman!
It's a dance number. Yeah, we get it.
We have hit recap!
Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. I keep on hearing this noise in the background.
Down.
Yeah.
This is going to be more fun than a Chaz Bono sex change.
You weigh the internet, sir! You weigh the internet!
And actually, I'm interested in seeing that matchup today with him and Carl, because I think Carl, with all due respect, is overrated.
Speaking of him, Carl is on the air. Carl, how are you doing?
You can all kiss my ass. Overrated, huh, Klaus? Anyway, how are you?
No, that's a thing. That's a thing, actually.
Stop.
One more time.
Okay, it's coming.
The mayonnaise is coming through the bun.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's Bowser.
Well, be honest, I'm sure she's got her feet up somewhere saluting us with her pickles and ice cream going, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand this love affair with Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Benoodles. Chris, nice you, Benoodles.
Yeah. You're a good little girl. Yes.
Don't fight.
Good girl.
Talk about Jim Turner. Let's talk about Ryan Howard. How about that?
Howard, you can't say because he's fat.
Because if the WWE doesn't want her, fine, you know?
And Justin Tuck.
Oh, mother. Oh, come
mother
on.
Tucker. Mother Tucker. Mother Tucker.
We have a great show for you tonight, as if I'd say otherwise.
Thanks for joining us, and until next time, stay sporty.
This is going to be like a good championship boxing match. You're not going to see a lot of hits, but the hits that you'll see are going to be good.
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Hi, this is Carl Chenier, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
And it's a dance number. Yeah, we get it.
And we're back with the second half of the North American Wrestling Connection. Gentlemen, I'm glad we stopped at the halfway point talking about SmackDown, because SmackDown's got a lot of challenges coming up in the months ahead. First of all, they've got to sell us on this Orton-Henry feud. They've got to gear up for a live SmackDown in a couple of weeks. The August 30th edition will be a live event. Also, once the UFC Fox deal is set in place, the Ultimate Fighter, which will be running on FX, will probably be doing its elimination rounds in the same time slot as SmackDown. Do you think that the last of these, the UFC thing, is going to affect their ratings in the long run? I'll start with you.
Maybe slightly, but I don't see it causing, like, any catastrophic downturn in ratings or anything. Maybe a little bit.
Let's see. Andy, since you hang with workers and you hang with wrestling fans almost equally, especially when it comes to Indiana, and I will give you some time for IPW, don't worry.
All right.
How much crossover do you see between wrestling and UFC?
You know, actually, it's kind of surprising. A lot of the indie guys, especially that work here in Indy, you know, they do a little bit of cross training with some, I wouldn't say UFC, but like more mixed martial arts, like ground game things that you know they can actually use in the ring, you know, transitions and holds and whatnot like that. And you know, commentating on the IPW DVDs, you know, we point that out. We notice that, hey, there's a crossover. He's using this kind of style to get to this position. You do notice that a lot, but I don't think it's as prevalent as many people think it would be, because they seem so similar, but not quite. But I would say it's slowly growing.
Okay. Actually, I'll clarify the question the way I was trying to phrase this question.
Sorry.
More to the fandom side of it. I mean, wrestlers usually start as wrestling fans and just end up in the business. But do wrestlers as fans and wrestling fans as fans, are they as into UFC as they are into wrestling?
For the most part, I would say probably not. There are those slight few, you know, I'm included, that like both UFC and wrestling. But, you know, if I had to pick, I would say wrestling, just because, you know, I get more into it than I do the UFC. But I would say for the most part, fans, whether they be workers or, you know, fans in general, I would say they're more leaning towards wrestling than UFC itself.
Okay. And fourth, I was reading something earlier today this August 30th SmackDown is a live SmackDown. This is only about this is probably about the seventh or eighth time in the I'm thinking 12-year history of SmackDown that they've been doing this. Do you think that this might even be a precursor? I doubt they'll ever make SmackDown always live, but I think they really. Do you think they should take a close look at the ratings for this particular show and actually start considering it?
I think they should. I mean, I can understand why they probably wouldn't, because it's a lot, because working without a safety net, being able to touch stuff up. But watching something live as it happens has a far different appeal than when it's taped. Because when it's live, it is one of those, indeed, anything can happen. So I definitely hope that it does well and that they consider it in the near future.
I'm going to step back over to this Randy Orton-Mark Henry feud. Anybody here interested in that?
It's the the annual random Mark Henry push. You know, I don't see it happening. I think they're just trying to find something in layover for their next big, title push, whoever that may be. It may be that they drag this on for a couple months and get Cody Rhodes ready for a title push. But I'm not really interested in this. I want to see if they do a Randy Orton Cody Rhodes push.
I could enjoy that just as much. I'd still, I would still like to see Sheamus re-elevated. It looks like they're interested in fully backing him now. Even though, Typho, Sheamus Orton would technically be face-face, would it work?
I mean, they've worked together in the past, okay, but as a face-face, I'm sure they could make it work some level, but eventually it would have to turn into a deal like Orton-Christian, where eventually one of them's going to turn, because they can't go long-term with a face-face program or a heel-heel program. It's just, they just don't do it. And then if you look at, obviously they had no interest in Christian as a long-term champion, so he goes back to Orton, who has a face, gives him a limited pool of heels to feud with. Mark Henry obviously being the logical choice right now, I guess, unless you want like a 37th straight month of Orton Christian. And there's really no one else. And Cody Rhodes isn't there yet, I don't think. DiBiase.
No.
Wade Barrett.
Maybe.
There's not a lot of options on SmackDown right now as far as heels go in that spot.
And let's see. Fourth, do you want to take an over-under on when Mark Henry hurts himself and the feud just comes to a screeching halt?
Honestly, I think that he'll probably blast the whole thing, no matter how much a lot of people would want to see him get hurt.
I'm not saying that I want to see him get hurt. It seems that's pretty much what's happened the last couple of times they've tried to push him.
I can see him lasting the entire feud, and then maybe the SmackDown after the feud ends, he injures himself. Right after he gets done with that push, he hurts his knee or hurts his arm, and he's out for a few months.
That's what happened to him after in his 2006 mega push, where he had the Royal Rumble match with Kurt Angle, WrestleMania match with Taker. I remember as that push was kind of winding down a little bit, I was at the Saturday night's main event taping in Dallas, where Mysterio drop kicked him in the knee and tore his patella tendon or whatever it was that happened to him. I just remember him laying there in a heap, and they had to stop the taping and get him out of there.
I remember though that push came up from him being off TV for almost two entire years, because he had gotten injured during a feud with Benoit, And then he was popping up for dark matches in late 05, because I ran into him in Fort Wayne in November, a week or two before Eddie passed. He wasn't, you know, they didn't have him back on TV just yet, but they were, you know, giving him matches to knock off the ring rust and get him back up and running. I know that some of this push is a partial reward for the fact that he has been trying to get himself back in shape, because they've been billing him at under 400 pounds, where we know that up to a few months ago they were billing him at, I think, 4 1/4. And
yeah,
I know, you know, a guy like him dropping 30 pounds is like throwing a deck chair off the Titanic.
Every little bit helps.
Exactly. I mean, as somebody who's dropped, you know, has dropped 45 pounds herself, it makes a difference. Then again,
I will say, though, about his 2006 push, that's my favorite Mark Henry time ever, because I'll never forget the backstage segment during the Batista-Molina angle. His What If It Were Me promo to Batista. And that's just images you don't need in your head, but it was awesome.
No.
And hilarious.
And damn you, Typho. It is in my mind's eye, and it cannot be unseen! Damn you, Typho.
Way to go, Typho. Good job.
You can replace it by the image of him attempting to rip the cage door off and taking about 10 minutes.
Now that was indeed amusing. Although I have a feeling that, you know, getting back to the feud itself, I have a feeling the only reason he's going to injure himself is that he's going to slip and fall having to try to handle Randy Orton.
Randy Orton!
Oh!
Oh.
I was just waiting for that during the references of Rhodes and DiBiase.
Apologies. I am a little behind and a little wiped from another long day at work.
That's cool.
So to be honest, I just, you know, sorry guys, Orton Henry just doesn't spike a whole lot of interest on this side.
You're not the only one.
So
it definitely feels like a placeholder for something bigger.
That's what every Mark Henry main event push feels like.
Alas.
It just seems like Mark Henry's one of those guys that just works well in that interim when they're trying to figure out something bigger, and then when they finally figure out, they push him back to opening or mid-card. And it seems like he's okay with that almost, because it's almost like, aside from losing weight, trying to get a little bit better, it seems like may just be speaking, you know, out of my ass here. But it just doesn't seem like he makes that complete effort to keep being that main event guy. He's content with being Carter and then being brought up randomly every year as a placeholder. And then when that's done, he's back down to, you know, opening or mid-card.
Well, he saw how well it works for Kane, so why couldn't it work for him?
Probably by the Royal Rumble, he'll be back to being the Kool-Aid man again.
So, you know, at the end of the day, it's still a paycheck, and I think that's the one thing Mark Henry is definitely happy about. I mean, the fact that he's been able to draw a paycheck from the Fed for, God, 15 years now.
In those
yeah.
first 10, he was drawing some ridiculous paychecks.
And even now, I honestly think they're still at least throwing him some decent coin to keep him around. But
you know what? Let's bring Mark Henry back to Sexual Chocolate Mark Henry. That'll bring the people around.
it worked at Old School Night. Who knows? But
I still want if he goes back to being Kool-Aid Man again with his red singlet, just like I pitched last year when he was smiling, happy face, Kool-Aid Man, Mark Henry. Pair him up with Percy Watson. Call him Team Oh Yeah. Have Mark Henry bust through a wall every time he makes an entrance.
I'm surprised
they'd revive the tag division in like a week.
Sadly, I am surprised to this day that they still didn't do that. The fact that somebody called him Kool-Aid Man in the middle of a match. Who did that?
I don't know. I love that idea, though. That is pure gold. I mean, that is ratings.
I mean, we need some more cross promotion. It's even though Miz did an okay job with his tasty Subway sandwich.
Santino, that made me want Subway.
Backstage, however, Santino wept.
I will say the only person that can ask for Jared from Subway to be given to him that could do it any better would be Punk.
Yeah.
If he wasn't in such a high profile angle, I would have loved to have him come out and do that again. Then again, a five minute shoot on Jared from Subway actually sounds quite appealing.
I don't have a problem with you, Jared. In fact, I like you just fine. It's just the fact that you think Subway is the best in the world when it's not. Quiznos is.
How can he say that with a straight face? Oh, sorry, that's my opinion getting in the way.
Money's right. You can do anything with a straight face.
That's true. That's very true. Let's see. Since we're talking about heels, I will say that there is one thing that did interest me on SmackDown tonight is I noticed that there was a distinct lack of Beth Phoenix. Or is it just the fact that she's a Raw diva?
It may be the Raw diva. It may be that they're trying to push the Divas of Doom or whatever they're calling them together. I personally like Sisters of Destruction, but it may be that they're trying to push them together on Raw. It may just be they didn't decide to put her on SmackDown. Who knows?
I don't know. Or either that. Or
apparently, it's fine for Alberto Del Rio to be on SmackDown, but Beth Phoenix couldn't come.
No. It's because Zack Ryder has all this clout, so you know he called up you know the champ and said, "Hey, Broski, we need you on Friday night."
I can actually see that. I can see that phone conversation happening. You know, him calling Del Rio Broski and Del Rio cursing at him in Spanish, and then Ricardo Rodriguez jumping in on the line, and then you know.
And Zach just thinking that they're really excited about coming to SmackDown and that they're digging the whole idea that Zack Ryder invited them.
Exactly. I can totally see that happening.
Actually, I think I know why Beth Phoenix did not show up on SmackDown. I think it was because she was embarrassed of that god-awful outfit that she was wearing. The one she wore at SummerSlam. Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if you are one of the Divas of Doom and you're trying to put across that you are a serious wrestler, you don't go out there in a roller derby skirt.
looked like what, Cherry from the Deuce and Domino days?
It was shorter than that, but I had my head in my hands. She has this frilly skirt on and she's got a zipper top so she could show off a plunging neckline, and I'm like, mixed message
not,
much?
That is not Beth Phoenix.
No. No. Edge, you hear me.
Wrong! Wrong, 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 wrong!
Complete with rolling on my back, screaming it. Beth, I love you, dear, but I'm offended by what you wore at SummerSlam. I am thoroughly offended. I want the pantsuit back. I want the tiara back. I want the Killer Beth back. I mean, I got to see Killer Natty tonight when she tied Alicia Fox in a knot. I thoroughly enjoyed that. You guys did for different reasons.
I just enjoyed her face because she had like a killer cyborg look in her face.
Who, Natty?
Yeah.
Maybe somebody who could help Beth Phoenix find that killer focus again would be our good buddy Little Jimmy Hart.
Little Jimmy? No,
Jimmy!
No, no.
Jimmy, 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 Jimmy! I am honestly surprised no one played that little clip.
I'm surprised that didn't end up in the intro tonight. I really am. The fact that, you know, R-Truth had that wonderful little tirade with Jimmy Hart. and the question came up, so, is, you know, next week, does he get to talk to Jimmy Snuka?
Actually, Vicky, that's genius. I would have loved to have seen that pulled into the angle.
I'm not sure which one you'd be able to actually understand better.
R-Truth. What was I going to say? Shoot. I ran out of Jimmys real quick. We're going to have to find some more. We're going to have to find more Jimmys to
Jimmy Powers.
Can we count Jims too, or would it just have to be Jimmys?
Well, I reiterate that I still think that this started as a rib on the WWE security team, but nobody would get it if he stood there and was talking smack to Sergeant Jimmy or Maven Jimmy or Sassy, the female Jimmy that's now on the Jimmy squad.
How about Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey?
Think he can get a tryout? Where are they next week?
I don't know, but hopefully he shakes hands backstage.
Oh. Young Bucks. How hard is it to walk around and shake everybody's hand? That was the first thing that was ever taught to me.
That was ingrained in my head when I first started out independently. Just, you know, helping out backstage. You give respect. You don't expect it. You need to give it before you get any of it.
Exactly. And apparently the Bucks just might have cost themselves a job because they forgot to shake Booker T's hand. But
apparently,
and I'm sure he responded with a "What the hell?"
What the hell?
Well, apparently,
maybe an my goodness.
Go ahead, Andy.
Sorry, I was going to say. Apparently, an independent wrestler in Southern California, Joey Ryan, has I guess he worked the tapings as well. Likened the Young Bucks to calling them the Charlie Sheen of pro wrestling, except the Young Bucks could pass a wellness test.
Ouch. And I believe Joey Ryan was one of the plants in the crowd over where Sheamus and Mark Henry went to the barricade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Possibly.
That's what I'd heard. Because go ahead.
No, I was going to say, which I have a question about that ending. It almost, I mean, like, you know, it seemed like it would be a good ending, you know, having him, you know, being plowed through the barricade, but at the same time, like, it almost looked like Sheamus, I mean, wasn't expecting that to actually happen and to get a count-out loss. Like, I wouldn't say it was botched, but it really seemed like on the fly as an ending.
I'll take it. I just thought Sheamus had to try really hard to stretch not being able to get back in the ring, is how I felt.
I was waiting for the classic John Cena not moving until 9, jump up, slide in the ring.
Yeah, that too. Let's see. I've got a couple minutes left in the show. Andy, I shall now give you the floor. Please, brag about tomorrow's show in Indianapolis.
All right. I'll make this quick. But Insanity Pro Wrestling, 10 years. It's their 10th annual Reign of the Insane show. Card is basically stacked from the get-go. Opening with six-man tag action, with some up-and-coming new names. Big Sue Jackson, Trip Cassidy, and Remy Wilkins taking on Reed Bentley, Mac Nix, and Overload. Followed by Dave Davidson versus DJ Hyde. DJ, you know, with CZW. DJ was actually supposed to be part of a Dream Team tag match with Drake Younger versus Danny Havoc and Scotty Vortex, but Scotty suffering some torn tendons in his hand, actually had surgery on that, I believe, today. It's either today or yesterday. But from his Facebook page, Scotty's doing well from the surgery. You know, so he's glad that everyone was supporting him. But he's going to be out of action for a little while, so, you know, that Dave Davidson, DJ Hyde, that was thrown in, in place of the in as part in place of that tag match. Tarik the Legend and Tony Cozina, which is going to be a knockdown, drag-out brawl that I'm totally looking forward to. I think that's probably, that could steal the show with those
say,
two names.
I'm shocked that Tarik is still wrestling. I thought he was hanging it up.
Yeah, and a few months ago, that's what I thought too, and then all of a sudden he came back about 2 months ago and did another IPW show. So he may be doing part-time now, not traveling as much, but, you know, who knows. But I'm always glad to see Tarik the Legend on, you know, on a card. Then a four-way for the IPW Mid-American Championship. Matt, Christian Haim, Alex Colon, Dustin Reyes, Hi-Zayah. Bodies will be flying everywhere.
Yes.
So, you know, this is going to be a fun one to commentate on. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to keep up with the match itself. It's just going to be that crazy. BJ Whitmer and Jesse Emerson. Tough Enough. Iva Lease, one of the ladies on Tough Enough, will be wrestling against Nevaeh in a showcase. That could be a fun match if Iva Lease has gotten any better since Tough Enough.
Okay.
Then Danny Havoc and Drake Younger, the other half of the CZW IPW tag match. That one, last I heard, is going to be a no DQ false count anywhere match. And
oh,
anytime
sweet.
We see no DQ and Danny Havoc and or Drake Younger, blood will be spilt, crowd will be involved. Hell is just going to rain in that match. It's going to be insane.
Furniture will be broken. I'm anticipating the pinfall will be in the parking lot, if not on the announced position. So if you're commentating that match, hold on to your microphone.
It will do. Will do. Follow that up with the IPW Junior Heavyweight Championship, Ricochet versus Billy Rock. I love this match already. I mean, just the names. Ricochet's been doing amazing with Dragon Gate over in Japan, and, you know, he's still, you know, pushing it hard here in IPW. And then King of Indiana, Billy Rock, former tag team champion. He's, you know, I believe I like this shot that they're giving him. And
mm-hmm.
I, you know, I wonder what he's going to do with it. If he's going to be able to capitalize or Ricochet's going to still pull it out.
I hear you.
Tag team showcase match with the Irish Airborne versus Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. That's going to be another hard-hitting, high-flying tag match. And then main event, IPW World Heavyweight Championship. The new horror, Sami Callihan, won his title last month in a very great match, putting that title up on the line against Davey Richards.
Ooh.
Yes. The former ROH champion himself, or former current, I'm not sure on that. I don't follow ROH too much, but either way, Davey Richards, Sami Callihan, that is going to be a hell of a match. This card is just stacked from front to back, and, you know, everyone here in Indianapolis is going to get definitely their money's worth. Front row, second row have all been sold out. There's like 20 tickets left for general admission.
And you guys are going to have a line around the block regardless.
Yes.
Typho 4th, I'll just say this because Seidelman and I attended Reign of the Insane last year. This was the one that Danielson worked Drake Younger
yes.
in the main in a 30-minute clinic that just blew everybody's mind. So first of all, these guys are going to have to try to top this. Second of all, the reason I had Andy on the show to bring this up is the fact that this is an independent organization, one of the largest in Indiana, that has managed to last a decade. Independent companies, unless they're affiliated with IWA or NWA, rarely make it past their first or second year. So this is really something to celebrate. And as a piece of trivia, CM Punk wrestled for IPW briefly in their first couple of years, if I remember Mike's commentary correctly.
You know, John Moxley, Who's now with WWE and FCW.
Dean Ambrose?
Dean Ambrose, yeah. That guy. He's been a former IPW World Heavyweight Champ, and he
I mean, he put the insane in Insanity Pro Wrestling.
His, much of his blood has been spilled all over the Salvation Army Hall. But the fact that we've had a few other big names down there, Ring of Honor's Jimmy Jacobs, Colt Cabana's been there a couple of times, former WWE star Kevin Thorne, who lives in nearby Fishers. I understand why. I know that he's been there. You know, I know he hasn't been there very often. Is it, I just wonder what his asking price is. I know that he, you know, you don't have to twist his arm very hard to come out there.
Yeah, he loves coming down to Indy, his hometown fans. The crowd loves him. I mean, you know, he put on a clinic himself with Billy Rock last year, and you got some choice pictures of that match.
That's partially my fault, and I still can't believe they took me up on it.
You know, but and that's, you know that a guy loves the business that much when he's willing to bare his ass to the crowd.
just for Typhoon Fourth, what had happened is that during this match, Kevin Thorne's facing the much smaller Billy Rock. Billy Rock is barely taller than me, and Kevin Thorne is 6 foot and change. So Billy Rock somehow sunset flips Kevin Thorne. Just like the goofy fan that I am, I yell, pull his tights down. So apparently a communication went between Kevin and Billy, and the next thing I know, I'm being mooned by a vampire. And just for that, Kevin, I did take two pictures.
It was classic, and you know that a guy like him loves this business, and you know he just has fun with it.
Oh, he's always had fun. I had the privilege of working with him at VIP when a minor disaster of a show, but that's beside the point. No, he's a cool guy. He really enjoys the business. He really enjoys the character aspect of the business. The fact that he's willing to do the vampire, I understand from a promoter in Michigan, he's willing to pull out Mordecai if anybody asks for it.
Now I want to go to one of these shows.
Trust me, if you ever make it into Indiana on a weekend of an IPW show, even if it's not Reign of the Insane, you should go, because these are very, very good shows. Mike Williams takes huge, enormous pride in the fact that they have lasted this long and have managed to get a very good following and a consistent following. We saw
and
a lot of familiar faces.
Not only a consistent following, but also a partnership with Dragon Gate, with CZW, through some guys that work, you know, that work for the promotions. You know, that those are huge. Yeah, and very instrumental in bringing the crowd in.
I smell Drake Younger's hand in that.
A little bit. I think, you know, him and Scotty Vortex probably, you know, had a little something going on there. But, it works. They had a canceled IPW Chikara show last year.
I remember that because of the weather.
Yes, I was almost in tears because I wanted to see Chikara live and in person, and I was devastated at the loss of that show.
I believe Seidelman was actually had come into town to go see that show.
I think he did too. I if I remember right,
because there was that show, then there was the relocated show that we attended, which included the broken couch.
Yes, and Seidelman getting Drake thrown on him.
Exactly. But it was worth it. so seriously, Typho Fourth, if you guys ever make it into the Indianapolis area, you need to look up IPW. You need to catch up with these guys. Go ahead and look them up online. Grab a DVD or two from them. They are fairly inexpensive.
$10. I would say grab last year's Reign of the Insane.
Yes.
That's the one, the Brian Danielson. Grab any of the recent Super Junior Heavyweight tournaments. If you're into the lightweight high flying styles, those are always very fun matches to watch.
And I could do some shameless self-promotion if you can get your hands on, I think it's Heatstroke 08. That's the one I did commentary for.
Yeah. And if you get any of the recent ones, I think starting back to early last year, I'm on commentary here and there, I think almost everyone, but I think two or three DVDs.
And some of the more current stuff, you'll also get to hear my personal trainer, Sweet Lou Roberts, did quite a bit of commentary for them this
year. And his commentary is classic. I loved listening to him love listening to him just work and flow so well with play-by-play John Murray. Those two guys worked so well back and forth together.
Oh, yeah. And unfortunately, now that Sweet Lou's in Arizona, they've lost a heck of a voice. And the fact that he was even dabbling on getting back in the ring. So actually, that'll be my last question for the night. With Sweet Lou relocating, what did that do to the new Messiah's angle?
I'm thinking the new Messiah's angle is gonna die down. I think they had I can't remember the other. He used to be Christian Faith. I can't remember his other name. They brought him.
Him
in
and Dustin,
they,
yeah.
Yeah, they brought him in a couple months ago. Last month he couldn't make the show, and then they actually Lou was taken out with a Irish coffee to a chair by the Irish Airborne.
Okay.
And that's how they're selling that angle, is he's got a neck injury and he's out. He has stated that he's willing to come back, to try to make it back every, maybe couple months, and do a couple shows here and there, but won't be able to do a consistent every month show for right now at least. But he said he loves the crowd here in Indy and wants to come back.
And I would love to come back because I just love attending the shows. I know I'll never get to work another show. Damn you, Greg Carey. I will say it again. Damn you, Greg Carey.
Bubbles!
Yes, tell Bubbles I said damn him.
Will do.
Mainly because he is, unfortunately, a damn good manager, and if you've got somebody as good as Greg Carey, actually, don't tell him I said that. I thought he was a good manager.
I won't tell him. I'll just link him to the archive of this show and let him listen to it.
Fuck.
Uh-oh.
Damn you, Andy Storm.
He is a great manager, like you said, and he's brought a lot of guys up to the main card, and he the crowd hates him. They call him Bubbles. I don't remember how that came about. That was an early thing, and it just kind of stuck. But the crowd hates him, and that's why he's so over. And that's why he's such a good manager.
The crowd tears him apart. I love it.
Oh, yeah. They're, like, spitting blood at him so bad. And he soaks it in and just loves it.
So, Greg Carey, if you do end up listening to this, I want half your heat. That plus Vicky Guerrero's heat, I will be the greatest heel manager in history.
Amen.
So, gentlemen, I think we've covered just about everything tonight.
I've had my shameless plug for the night.
That's quite a bit of plug. So
yeah.
So before we take off, Typho, do you have anything to plug?
There's, of course, Tuesday Night Typho, which is now a CLW83 Network affiliate show, which will be every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Central Time, Blog Talk Radio. Fourth will be there, too.
JBL doesn't steal my Nancy Grace quota.
JBL steals our show gimmicks.
That's because JBL doesn't have any fresh material, because he doesn't have anybody to beat up. Oh, there's the button.
Michael Cole, shut up!
Actually, that probably wasn't the right one to play. Give me one second. This is the one I should play.
Shut up!
Just a simple shut up to Michael Cole.
Shut up!
There we go.
There we go.
All right, gentlemen, I do appreciate you all showing up tonight. And Andy, you have just saved your job.
Thank you.
And tomorrow you will be probably doing a... No, no, I won't say that.
Yeah,
you don't,
yeah, no.
You don't have to meet Mr. Future Endeavors yet.
Thank God.
Yet. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for being here tonight. The North American Wrestling Connection has put another one in the can. And I don't want to put too much more on here because Carl's going to have enough of a nightmare trying to edit this mess. So, for Andy Storm, for Typho, and for Forth, this is Nikki Heyman saying good fight and good night. Yes, I stole that.
If you would like to leave a question, comment, or if you want to find out any information on our podcast and our services, please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. Again, that's clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.